All right, Rabbi, we'll say good morning. Today's daf is Kuf Mem Dalet 144. We actually have a great daf ahead of us today, but we are beginning from Kuf Mem Gimel on today's 143b, and we are picking up at 2, 4, 6, 8, 9 lines up from the bottom. I want to begin by thanking our sponsors for this morning's shir, our Talmud Torah sponsors, Avram and Shandy Kelman, with the hope and tefillah that Tisha B'Av will be a Yom Tov filled with joy in the eternal Beis HaMikdash. Our week of learning sponsors, Dr. and Mrs. Gavant, in honor of Dr. Gavant's reaching an age halfway between Zikna and Seva. We wish Dr. Gavant Neve Esm Shalom Tovos. In Yaakov and Monica Luxembourg, in the merit of a complete and enduring refuah for Aiden Shalom Bas Ben Alta Braina. We thank our day of learning sponsors, Zevi and Shoshi Daniel, for dedicating learning today in the merit of a refuah shleimah for David Kalman Ben Ephraim Shimon. We thank our Dafyomi sponsors, Dr. and Mrs. Warshavsky, for dedicating the shir this morning in commemoration of the yahrzeit of Dr. Warshavsky's mother, Kayla Bas HaChaver Moshe. We thank Milt and Melanie Gertner for dedicating the daf today in memory of Melanie's father, Roderick Givner, Daniel Ruvain Ben Avram, and Robert Lilienfeld for dedicating the shir this morning in memory of his grandmother, Dorothy Myers. We hope that in the merit of our Talmud Torah, the neshamas will have an aliyah, the families in nechama, and all those who require a refuah should have one together with Kol Chole Yisrael. And I will say with that, let us begin. So we're picking up with the sub Rabbi Yehuda. So Kuf Mem Gimel Amud Beis. What did I say? 2, 4, 6, 8, 10 lines up from the bottom. So I'll say just to reorient a bit. So if you remember again, so we got into the fascinating discussion regarding schitas peiros, squeezing out fruit on Shabbos. So the Mishnah left us with a fundamental machlokes. That machlokes is between Rabbi Yehuda and the Rabbanon. So ultimately, again, Rabbi Yehuda, so the Rabbanon said you can't squeeze fruit for their juice on Shabbos. And if the juice came out on its own, the juice is still asur. Rabbi Yehuda said it depends. If halacha lemaisa, the fruit that we're talking about, are set aside for consumption, for eating, then halacha lemaisa, the juice that comes out is not deemed to be juice, but rather food. And because it's food, it's very important to sow. The isur of schita is only on juice. So if something is considered to be food, by definition, the isur of schita does not apply to it. So therefore, Rabbi Yehuda will say, if the fruit itself is set aside for consumption, then any juice that comes out of it doesn't have the status of juice, but rather has the status of food, and therefore not subject to schita. If, on the other hand, the juice came out of fruit that was set aside for juicing, that was set aside for its liquids, then ena chinami, the juice that oozes out will be asur. So we'll say, so we then spoke about this machlokas. The Gemara then, I'm just giving a little bit of introduction because it makes things a little bit easier for today. The Gemara then quoted a statement that halacha lemaisa, Rabbi Yehuda said the name of Shmuel, that Rabbi Yehuda agreed with the Chachamim when it came to zeisim va'anavim. So when it comes to olives and to grapes, Rabbi Yehuda agreed that any juices which ooze out of olives and grapes are going to be asur. Even if, while the olives or grapes were set aside for juice purposes, for liquid purposes, for consumption purposes, Rabbi Yehuda will agree that since the paradigmatic use of olives and grapes are for their liquids, anything that oozes out of olives and grapes is going to be asur. So Rabbi Yehuda will agree in that case, like the Chachamim, and the Chachamim will agree with Rabbi Yehuda, b'shar peiros, right? When it comes ultimately again to other fruit. Okay, so the Gemara says as follows. Good. And now the Gemara left off with, but in a case of stam, what happens if you have fruit that halacha lemaisa were not actively designated for either eating or drinking? The Gemara says that Rabbi Yehuda will agree to Chachamim that it's aser. So the Gemara, that's the point we're picking up with. For some Rabbi Yehuda, stam aser, is that true? Does Rabbi Yehuda hold that non-designated fruit, which also means fruit that was not designated for consumption or for juicing, that Allah said the liquid that comes out of that will be asr? Is that, does he really hold that way? But then we learned chalav ha'ishem et hamil ratzon v'shal ratzon, milk that a woman expresses, right? So mother's milk, milk that comes out of a woman, is metame. Also, when we say metame, Rashi just points out over here, metame means machshir. We're talking about the ability of a liquid to make something hukshar lekabel tumah. Remember again, hilchos tumah, we know in order for an item to contract tuma, it must have first come in contact with a liquid. So chalav, milk, is one of the seven liquids. So the Gemara says that, the Mishnah says, that a woman's milk has the, if it comes in contact with an item, makes it hukshar, ready to makabel tuma. But listen to this. The Gemara says, "Hachalav aisha metami l'ratzon v'shelo l'ratzon." But the milk is only machshir something like kabel tuma. If what? If the milk came out of the woman, you know, that she wanted it to come out. It came out with her intent. But let's say it leaked out of her. Halacha l'maisa, that milk would not be machshir something lekabel tuma. Look at Rashi. Rashi says over here, "Chalav aisha metami l'ratzon v'shelo." I'm sorry, not yet. Sorry, not yet. So that's right. V'atina chalav behema. I'm sorry, I said it wrong. What I was saying. The milk that comes out of a woman is machshir the kabel tuma, whether it came out of her intentionally or unintentionally. Rashi says, "Bein sheyatzi mena l'ratzon, bein sheyatza shelo l'ratzon, shachalav kari mashke." So therefore, I will say a woman's milk, whether she expressed it intentionally or unintentionally, is machshir an item l'kabel tuma. Conversely, chalav behema eino metame el l'ratzon. Milk that comes out of an animal is only metame l'ratzon. So let's say cow's milk will only be metame, will only be machshir the kabel tuma if it's intentionally milked from the cow. But if it leaks out of the cow, it's not machshir the kabel tuma. Says the Gemara, Am Rabbi Akiva, kavachomer. So also Rabbi Akiva wants to disagree with the Tanakama, and he thinks actually, again, even we'll call it unintentional animal milk should also be machshir, should also be machshir the kabel tuma. Why was the kabel chomer? Here we go. Uma chalav aisha she'ena miyuchad ela lekitanim mitami l'ratzon v'shel l'ratzon. So milk of a woman that is really only drunk by children has the ability to convey or be machshir the tuma l'ratzon and shel l'ratzon. Chalav habehema shemiyuchad bein lekitan and bein lekdolim. Eino din shi'etame bein l'ratzon bein shel l'ratzon. Then so the animal's milk, which is fit for children and for adults, should certainly be machshir l'kabel tuma, whether it comes out l'ratzon or shelo l'ratzon. So the Rabbanan, the Chacham said back to Rabbi Akiva, Amru lo, the comparison is not good. We'll tell you why. Amru lo, im tame chalav ha'isha shelo l'ratzon shadam magafos ha'tame. But see, here's the difference. You see, it could very well be that the reason that the chalav, that the milk of a woman, I'm just going to use the word tame, but I want you to understand when we're saying tame, we don't actually mean that her milk is tame. We mean that her milk is one of the liquids that, if it comes in contact with another item, makes that item hukshar lekabel tuma. So a woman has another stringency in that what? Shadam magafasa yitma. So we'll say if she has a wound and that wound bleeds, so halach lamais again, that blood that comes out of her is also one of the other liquids that is machshir item makabel tuma. Yet chalav habehema shelo l'ratzon. Yet we'll say again, I would say, so shadam magafasa tame yitma. So we'll say, let me finish the phrase. So therefore, the Gemara says, when it comes to a woman, if she bleeds, so that blood that comes out of her has the ability to machshir the kabel tuma. So it makes sense that halacha l'maisa, her milk should be metame bein l'ratzon b'shel l'ratzon. On the flip side, chalav habehema, top of kuf mem dalid, shelo l'ratzon, shedam magafasa tahar. Yet Rabbo say halacha l'maisa, that when it comes to chalav behema, maybe the reason ultimately that it is not machshir the kabel tuma is because blood that comes out of an animal, let's say from a wound of an animal, is not machshir an item lekabel tuma. So see, all the Gemara is pointing out over here is that Rabbi Akiva wanted to say, if the milk of a woman, which is only fit for kitanim, is metame bein l'ratzon bein shelo l'ratzon, then the milk of an animal, which is fit for kitanim and gidolim, should certainly be metame bein l'ratzon bein shelo l'ratzon. To which the Chacham say, no, I'll tell you why that's not a good argument. Because a woman has a chumrah over an animal, namely what? That by a woman, if she's wounded and the wound bleeds, that blood is capable of machshir something like kabel tuma. Versus an animal, if an animal is wounded and the animal bleeds, halacha lemaisa, that blood is not capable, ultimately, again, of making something like, of being machshir something like kabel tuma. And I look at Rashi just a moment. Why is that if an animal bleeds, that blood is not capable of being machshir an item lekabel tuma. So look at Rashi. Tap Rashi kuf mem dalar medalif. Shadam magafasa shal isha im nagaf ragla. O yada v'chol chabur shetzim en adam kidar per dam nida. Dam chalalim dahinu dam hara kari mashke. Shnemar v'dam chalalim yishte. V'dam magafasa mifarish hasam de dam chalalim havi dimali katle kule mali katle palga. So the idea is, in general, we assume that halacha lemaisa, it's only dam chalalim. Now, dam chalalim means blood that comes from a corpse that is machshir lekabel tuma. Yet the Gemara makes an interesting drasha and says, blood is blood. What does it matter again if it's she's still, well, literally lashon is, if she's totally killed or partially killed. In other words, the act of drawing blood, the Gemara looks at, is some form of quasi-death. So therefore, halacha lemaisa, any blood that comes out of a woman will be machshir lekabel tuma. That stands in contradistinction that halacha lemaisa, the blood of an animal, is not machshir lekabel tuma. Because remember, we're going to say, by animals, how do you know that the blood of an animal could be machshir something lekabel tuma? Because of the comparison between blood and water. And what's the comparison between blood and animal and water by an animal? Ala aretz tishpechenu kamayim. Which is the pasuk that says what? You can't go ahead and consume blood after you shech the animal. Rather, you must spill it on the ground like water. So that's the comparison. That's how you know that blood is machshir, is one of the liquids that's machshir as compared to water. But it's only the blood of shechita that is compared to water. So mostly you see this distinction by a human being and by animals. By a human being, any blood, even blood from a wound, while the person is still alive, is machshir lekabel tuma. Yet by an animal, it's only blood, it's only what we'll call death blood or shechita blood that is machshir lekabel tuma. So we'll say, so let's go back to the Gemara. So the Gemara says, Amar lahen, machmir ani b'cholav mi b'dam. Rabbi Akiva says, no, I'm more machmir by milk than I am by blood. Why? Shacholiv l'refua tamei. Because we will say, interestingly enough, if let's say again, milk was expressed for the sake of refua. In other words, let's say we'll say, you have to go ahead and you have to milk the animal, not because you need the milk, but lamaisa, because the animal just, maybe it's engorged or whatever it is, you have to milk it for refua purposes. The halacha is that milk is tamei. Again, when we say tamei, it means that it's machshir lekabel tuma. Yet, v'hamakiz l'refua tahar. Yet, I will say, if one does bloodletting, right? If bloodletting, that blood ultimately, again, is tahar. So the Rabbanan say back to Rabbi Akiva, Amrulo, Sali zesim v'anavim yochichu. So interestingly enough, so the Chum say back to Rabbi Akiva, well, we could prove our point from the case of a basket of olives and grapes. I will say, what's the case of olives and grapes? Shamashkin hayotzin mehen l'ratzon t'meyin, shalot l'ratzon t'horin. So we'll say, what's the halakha by the olives and grapes? So remember again, olive oil, right? Oil that comes from olives and liquid that comes from grapes is also some of the liquids that are capable of the machshir item lekabel tuma. Yet, interestingly enough, if you have grapes and olives in a basket, if ultimately the liquids come out l'ratzon, I want the liquids to come out, then they are capable of being machshir on the kabel tuma. However, shalom l'ratzon, but if I have olives and grapes in a basket, and actually I don't want them to leak any liquid, then halacha l'maisa tohorim, then the liquids are not capable of conveying tuma. So the Gemara says, what does this mean? My love l'ratzon dinechale, shalom l'ratzon bistama. So Moses says, what are our cases over here? Is it possible that when we say l'ratzon, l'ratzon means I want it, right? L'ratzon means that I want it. I actively want the juices. And maybe shlo l'ratzon means what? Not that I don't want it, but what? Stam. I have no specific intent. No specific intent. And yet, Rabbi said, what do you see from here? Uma zesim va'anavim debenei schita ninhu shlo l'ratzon v'lo klom. And Rabbi said, what do you see from here? You see from here that halacha l'maisa, olives and grapes, which are generally, again, fruits, that are considered to be items that are most commonly wanted for their juices. Yet what? You see that in a stam case, we have no specific intent for these items. Their liquids are not considered to be chashuv. Then certainly tusim verimonim, Then certainly when it comes to tusim v'rimonim, when it comes to berries, and when it comes to pomegranates, which are both, they could go either way. Sometimes they're used for their juices, but they're also just as commonly, if not more commonly, used for consumption. Certainly, again, if you have not designated them for anything, and juice leaks out of them, those juices should not be significant. But obviously, legabe tuma, they're not going to be significant. We're talking about legabe Shabbos, they're not going to be significant. So just to be clear, just to understand what's happening over here, we got on a major tuma detour, fascinating one, but a major detour, because we're stuck on one piece of information over here, which is, the Gemara wanted to suggest, Rabbi Yehuda will agree with the Chachamim when it comes to Zeisim Va'anavim. The Chachamim will agree with Rabbi Yehuda when it comes to Shar Peiros, the rest of fruit, but by Stam. What happens if I have fruit that was not actively designated for juicing purposes or for eating purposes? So the Gemara is suggesting that Rabbi Yehuda holds that in that case, any liquid that comes out of that is going to be usher. Rabbi Yehuda holds Stam is going to be usher. The Gemara wanted to go ahead. The Gemara is proving that point from this particular case, from this last case, where you have a basket of Zeisim Va'anavim. So the Gemara says, if you have a basket of Zeisim Va'anavim, say if you want the juices that come out of it, ultimately, again, they're capable of conveying Tuma. But if you don't want the juices, they're not capable of conveying Tuma. What's the case of not wanting the juices? That's not a case where a person says, I don't want the juice. The Gemara says, that's a case of Stam. See, Sylvie here, that in a case of Stam, ultimately, again, they will not convey tumah. So the Gemara says, if that's the case by Zeisim Va'anavim, certainly it should be the case of Tusim V'rimonim. To which the Gemara says, Lo l'ratzam b'stama, shelo l'ratzam d'gale adayte. The Gemara says, no. In fact, these cases are explicit. The case of l'ratzam is b'stama. Shelo l'ratzam, so we'll say, the assumption is, if you don't express das, we assume you want the liquids. That's how the halacha is going to operate. Shalom l'ratzon is in a situation where galei daite da'amar lo nechali, where a person says, I don't want it. So the Gemara is just redefining. The Gemara is saying, no, stam ultimately means, lo l'ratzon is bistama, if you express no intent. We assume no intent means you want the juices, and the only case of where you don't want the juice is where there is an explicit articulation that you're using this for consumption purposes, not for juicing purposes. The other possibility is shiny salizim va'anovim kevan deleibut kaimi meikara afkuri mafkulabos. It's actually very interesting. The other possibility is as follows. The Gemara is making a fascinating diak over here. If you notice, the case that the Gemara brought up was Sole Zeisim Va'anavim. A basket, I will say, by definition means something that is not able to retain liquid. So what's going to happen to any liquid that oozes out of these Zeisim Va'anavim? Pretty much it's just going to go, it's just going to be wasted. So the Gemara suggests as follows. Shiny Sole Zeisim Va'anavim, baskets of olives and grapes are different. Kevan de li'ibut kaimi, since ultimately, again, the liquid is going to be lost anyway, me'ikara afkuri mafkilahu. From the beginning, a person pretty much is mafkir any type of liquid. Look at the last Rashi on the daf. Afkuri mafkir, lahu mashke. Aval shar kelim, afilu tusim v'rimonim emalacha stomal mashke. So we'll say, could very well be that in a case where the receptacle that is holding the Zeisim Va'anavim is not capable of holding on to the liquid, that's pretty clear that your intent is not for the liquid, right? Because otherwise, again, the liquid is going to waste. It's as if you're mafkir the liquid. Masha'en came using what the Gemara calls, I guess everything translates as a basket. But Shar Kalim, another utensil which is capable of retaining the liquid, it could very well be that under those circumstances, even Stam, even without explicit intent, Halacha L'maaseh, you would want the liquid. So ultimately, again, we're not sure, we're still not sure exactly what to do in the case of Stam. So we're going to circle back to Stam in a little bit. But the Gemara is still operating on the general approach that we've had so far, which is that Rabbi Yehuda agrees with the Chachamim regarding Zeisim Va'anavim. So also, whenever it comes to grapes and olives, whatever liquid comes out of grapes and olives, whether that liquid came out, whether you designated the grapes and olives for consumption or for juicing purposes, any liquid that comes out of those items on Shabbos will be usher. That's where we're holding right now. So says the Gemara, Ashkechan Rabbi Yehuda Dimodi L'Rabbanan Bezeisim Ba'anovim. So Rabbi Yehuda is like this. So the Gemara says, we find like this. We now understand that Rabbi Yehuda agrees to the Rabbanan by Zeisim Ba'anovim. Right? So we'll say, interestingly enough, for Hilchos Srita, and we're going to see, this is actually going to be Halacha L'Maisa, for Hilchos Srita and Shabbos, Zeisim Ba'anovim are going to be in their own category. Right? Which makes sense because those are fruit that are primarily used for their juices, or whose juices are incredibly chashiv. So therefore, again, Rabbi Yehuda will agree with the Chachamim that by zeisim va'anavim, whether you set it aside for consumption, whether you set it aside for juicing, any liquid that comes out of those items on Shabbos will be aser. However, Rabbanan demogle Rabbi Yehuda b'shar peres milan. But we'll say, from where do we know that the Rabbanan agree with Rabbi Yehuda by other fruit? So we'll say, remember again, what does that mean? How do I know that the Rabbanan agree with Rabbi Yehuda, named Rabbi Yehuda Schilik? Remember, what was Rabbi Yehuda's Schilik? Rabbi Yehuda wanted to say, in general, the status of liquid which comes from a fruit on Shabbos is dependent on what? Dependent on what? The designation of the fruit. If it was a fruit that was set aside for consumption purposes, then the juice that comes out of it is not looked at as juice, but rather it's looked at as food. If it's looked at as food, there's no schita issue. If there's no schita issue, then the liquids are permitted. If, however, the fruit was set aside for juicing purposes, then halacha lemaisa, any liquid that comes out of it will be asur on Shabbos. So from where do I know that Rabbanan agree with Rabbi Yehuda in other fruit? So the Gemara says, Desanya, here we go, because we learned, sochtin, you could squeeze on Shabbos, kuf mem dalet amud beis, right, the pigin, so I'll say, so literally again, figin are plums, so frishin are quinces, and uzradin are sorb apples. So you could squeeze these items on Shabbos, avalo berimonim, but you can't go ahead and squeeze pomegranates on Shabbos. So we'll say, this is really quite interesting. What is it? So we'll say, I just want to point out what this Bryce is seemingly saying. What this Bryce is saying is, this is not talking about now a situation where halacha lemaisa, the juice oozed out. What does it sound like it's saying over here? You can actively squeeze the juices out of these items on Shabbos. So if you look at Rashi, second line from the top on Kuf Mem Dalam Adays, Rashi says, Delav or chai hu bahachi ve'en kamishum dash. Because they will say these are items which are not normally squeezed for their juices. And because they're not normally squeezed for their juices, therefore there's no issue of dash. Remember again, the malacha that we're talking about over here, dash, schita, mefarik, it's threshing, right? Anytime you extract one item from another, that is the malacha of threshing. Remember the way it was done, the av malacha is threshing of wheat, right? Threshing of wheat, in which case you want to remove the kernels from the chaff. So the act of removing liquid or juice from a fruit is going to be the same malacha. We call it schita. So the Gemara is suggesting over here that these fruits, right, the plums, the quinces, the sorb apples, you could actually squeeze the juice out of them on Shabbos because they're not normally squeezed. However, but you can't squeeze pomegranates. V'shal beis menashe bar menachem hayu sochtin berimonim. But I will say in the house of menashe bar menachem, they used to squeeze pomegranates on Shabbos. Now this obviously is very dramatic, because what this is saying over here is that halacha lemaisa, any fruit which is not normally squeezed for its juice, you can squeeze for its juice on Shabbos. So the Gemara says, how do you know that this brice reflects the view of the Rabbanon? Maybe it's Rabbi Huda. But the truth is, even if you want to suggest that this is actually Rabbi Huda, Amar de Shamasle Rabbi Huda Yatsume Atzman, Sochtin Lechatchila Mishamasle. It will say, even to suggest this price as Rabbi Huda would also be an incredible chiddush. Why? Because it will say, Mirgen, let's go back for just a moment. Even Rabbi Huda, who said that halacha lamaisa, juices which ooze out will be permitted if the fruit was set aside for consumption, only allows what? At least again in the Mishnah, they're talking about over here juices that what? That flowed out on their own. This price that we just quoted is talking about the ability to do what? Well, this is very dramatic. Very dramatic. This price is talking about the license to actively go ahead and actually squeeze fruit for their juices on Shabbos. So we'll say, I just want to point out the enormity of what that brisa just taught us. According to that brisa, we'll see about what the halacha lemaisa is, but according to that brisa, if you have a fruit which is really never squeezed for its juice. It's just, it's not a juiced fruit. I don't know if that's the right terminology, but you understand. It's not a fruit that's used for its juice. The Braisa said, l'chatchila, you can squeeze that on Shabbos. L'chatchila, you can squeeze it on Shabbos. Why? Because I will say, remember again, because that juice doesn't really have the designation of juice. And if, since the lavar chayus, since it's not the normal course of juicing, therefore halacha l'maaseh is not problematic. So the Gemara says, oh, you see, that's the Rabbanon. And that shows that they agree to Rabbi Huda in the case of Sharperos. I don't know about that. I don't even know if that can affect the view of Rabbi Huda. Because even Rabbi Huda on record is only talking about what? Juices which flowed out on their own. That doesn't mean that according to Rabbi Huda, you could proactively squeeze anything. To which the Gemara says, so how do you understand this braisa? So let's take a look at Rashi for just a moment. Before we get to that, let's read it in the Gemara. So what you have to say is that the braisa is introducing to us a new concept. And what's the new concept? That if you have a fruit which is not normally squeezed for its juice. I want to say not normally, meaning it's really never done. No one makes quince juice. I guess not. This times of the Gemara, right? No one makes plum juice, right? So because no one's making sorb apple juice. So we'll say, so because no one's doing this, therefore the Braisa says these liquids don't even have the status of real meperos, of real juice. So because of that, it's going to be mutter lechatchila. Look at Rashi. Alamai yischal meimar l'Rabbi Huda, Kivan dalav b'nei schita, v'chihechi d'Rabbi Huda shari l'chatchila mehaitama, mehashta afilu teima rabbanon v'shari mehaitama. So we'll say, indeed, this is really dramatic. Progression, thank you. A dramatic progression in this discussion. Because we'll say, remember again, what we've just gone from is we've just transitioned from a discussion really all about what we call this fruit leakage, right? Juices that seep out of fruit and figuring out what to do with them, to now a dramatic shift to the Braisa telling us that it would appear that according to Rabbi Huda and the Rabbanon, if you have fruit that it just is not normally juiced, halacha l'maaseh, you can juice that fruit l'chatchila on Shabbos. And again, just so we're all on the same page, what the logic is, like Rashi says, kevan delav or chayhu b'hachi, since this is not normal to juice this kind of fruit, ein kan mishum dash. It's only called threshing if it's normal. If you don't do this, it's not called dash. So the Gemara says, afilu teim rabbanon, kevan delav v'nei schita ninu, afilu l'chatchila. So we'll say, and this, in fact, this approach, that if fruit is not normally juiced, you could juice l'chatchila, would not only be Rabbi Yehuda, but in fact, it would be the opinion of the Rabbanon. To which the Gemara says, Shmamina Rabbanon hi Shmamina. So we'll say, this is actually quite dramatic, because it appears that the Gemara is adopting this as a final conclusion, that both according to Rabbi Yehuda and the Rabbanon, if you have fruit which are never juiced, now we'll say, the word never is a big word. And this is what we're going to get into right now, because never, you can always find someone who does something. So again, we're going to see how to deal with that in just a moment, but at least in the abstract, this is actually very exciting and very dramatic. It would appear that halacha l'maaseh, both Rabbi Huda and the Rabbanon are agreeing with this principle, that if you have a fruit that is really, quote-unquote, never juiced, there is no problem with l'chatchila juicing it on Shabbos, for that is not called the melacha of dash. So we'll say that's analyzed in just a moment. So we'll say, remember again, in that same Braisa, so the Braisa said, but when it comes to pomegranates, you can't squeeze pomegranates for their juice on Shabbos. Why not? Because in the house of Menashe bar Menachem, they used to go out and squeeze pomegranates for their juice. To which the Gemara says, I don't understand. Show us that, you know what that Braisa sounds like? What that Braisa sounds like is, normally people would not juice pomegranates. That's what it sounds like. But it happens to be that there was this guy, Menashe bar Menachem, and in their house they drank pomegranate juice. So because they drink pomegranate juice, therefore we don't juice pomegranates on Shabbos. So the Gemara, listen to this. Shall base Menashe bar Menachem, how you soaked in Barimonim. Amrav Nachman, halacha kishal base Menashe bar Menachem. Rav Nachman said, the halacha follows the house of Menashe bar Menachem. Therefore pomegranates are usually juiced, and therefore halacha maaseh, you can't juice it on Shabbos. Amrav Rav Nachman, Menashe bar Menachem tanuhu. So Rav says, Rav Nachman, who's Menashe Bar Menachem? Who is this guy? Is he a Tana? Right? Is he someone important that we have to listen to? That what he does somehow drives halacha practice? Alright, so maybe we'll say, you know what? No. Like we just said before, we don't mean that the halacha follows Menashe Bar Menachem, but rather you have Rav Nachman saying, Rav Nachman, right? Rav Nachman does have the right to have an opinion, right? So we'll say it's very important to sell. What the Gemara is saying is, just because Menashe Bar Menachem does something, you know, not everyone is entitled to an opinion. Now let me say that a little bit differently. Everyone is entitled to an opinion. I want to say something very dramatic. Not everyone's opinion matters. I know it sounds very countercultural, but not everyone's opinion matters. Just because you think something doesn't mean it should make a shred of difference. So the Gemara says, it's great that Menashe Bar Menachem juices pomegranate. It's fantastic. Who cares? Okay, so you'll say, no. It doesn't mean that he's driving halachic practice, but rather, again, Rav Nachman, just say halacha follows him. But in essence, what the Gemara says is like this. So we'll say, I don't understand. Menashe Bar Menachem is one person. Well, listen to how the Braisa reads. Right? The Braisa reads that in general, if you don't choose fruit, if a type of fruit is not choose, then lechatchila you could juice it on Shabbos, but you can't choose pomegranates. Do you know why? Because Menashe Bar Menachem used to juice pomegranates. So I don't understand. Because you found one guy that does this, that dictates the process, and that dictates the norm for everyone else. It doesn't make sense. You'll see what the Gemara is driving at. Rabbah says, we have this all the time in Halacha. One thing you could always bank on, which is, we could always find someone who's going to be doing something. But generally, Halacha operates with the principle that what? Batla daito itzol kol adam. I'm going to say that explicitly in just a moment. That just because you find one person doing something, that does not create the norm. The norm is created by the rov. That's how the norm is created. We'll say these are yisodistic concepts that you know, if only, you know, Chazal knew what they were talking about, and these concepts are the fundamental pillar concepts also for the creation of proper and just society. Just because someone does something, or just because someone feels a certain way, should not create a norm that then dictates what everyone else has to do as well. It's an incredible, you know, we live in a time where if someone feels something, by definition, it has to be right. If you feel it, then everyone else has to be sensitive to it, and everyone else kind of like has to bow to it. You can't really run a society like that. You have to deal with a batla daito itzel kol adam. There has to be a general norm that drives the pillars of society. You'll always have people on the periphery, because such is human nature. But the peripheral sensitivities or the peripheral isms can't be the things that drive normative society. And where do we get that from? From pomegranates, all from juicing. It's amazing what you get from juicing pomegranates. So the Gemara says, I don't understand. So Bar Menashe Bar Menachem, this individual, Menashe Bar Menachem, his juicing standards create halachic protocol, to which the Gemara says, actually, yes, they do. Watch this. It's going to be very interesting. Visnan ha-mekayim kotzim mekayim. So we'll say, listen to this. So the Gemara says, if one goes ahead, I will say, this is klaya kerem. So klaya kerem means that you cannot plant other things, certain other things, within a vineyard, right? Because it creates forbidden mixtures. So the Gemara says as follows. So if a person goes ahead and maintains a thorn bush, kotzma thorns, thorn bush in a vineyard, Rabbi Eliezer Omer Kodesh, v'cham omrim eino mekadesh, eladavar shekamo mekaymin. So Rabbi Eliezer says, ultimately, again, a thorn bush in a vineyard is a problem of klai hakerem. And ultimately, again, Rashi says, mekadesh es hatvua mishum kilayim dizrihu. So what Rabbi Eliezer says, thorn bush is a proper plant, and therefore, again, it will create a problem of intermingled species in a vineyard. Chum saying, no, it's thorns. It's thorns. The only thing that creates klai hakerem, we'll say, is something that a person plants and wants to sustain. Generally, people don't want to sustain thorn bushes, and therefore it does not create the klai hakerem issue. So we'll say, now watch this. I'm Rabbi Chanina. My time is Rabbi Eliezer. So we'll say, what is Rabbi Eliezer's logic that the appearance of a thorn bush, halacha lamaisa, goes ahead and creates klai hakerem? Listen to this. Shekim ba'arabia mekaymin kotzi sodas ligmalim. Because in Arabia, they do grow thorn bushes. And why, or do they maintain thorn bushes? Why? Apparently, camels eat thorns. Camels eat thorn bushes. So in Arabia, they like to have thorn bushes because it's camel feed. To which the Gemara says, so we'll say, what do you see from here? Something quite fascinating. Outside of Arabia, the rest of the world, no one wants thorn bushes. Thorn bushes are not considered to be a plant. Yet in Arabia, they feed it to their camels. So because in Arabia, they feed it to their camels, Rabbi Eliezer will say that therefore, if you plant a thorn bush in a vineyard, that's a problem of Kla Yakarim. We'll say, what do you see from here? You see from here that if you see even just one, if you see someone who does something, even though the rove doesn't do that, that someone creates a reality. To which the Gemara says, no. And therefore, again, I will say, the assumption would be so too. If in the house of Menashe Bar Menachem, they are juicing pomegranates, maybe that creates reality for everyone else. Which the Gemara says, that's not a fair comparison. As the Gemara says, Arabia Asra, Midi area da Arabia Asra, Hacha Botla Daito Ezechadam. We'll say, there's a difference between finding a country where they do something versus a person who does something. Okay, so I hear, if in Arabia they go out and they maintain thorn bushes, I could hear the logic of them saying, since there's a country that conducts themselves this way, perhaps this creates a halachic norm even outside of that country. But to say because one guy juices pomegranates, so that's going to create a reality for everyone else. Again, like we just said before, batla daito eitzel kol adam. What Menashe ben Menachem does, should truth is, be batal in the face of what everyone else does. And I was well say, why would we assign supremacy to what one guy does? Why don't you look at what the majority does? To which the must elahainu taima kira elahainu taima. So I'll say, so what is the reason why we let Menashe ben Menachem drive halachic policy here? Kidrav chista. The Amrav chista was say, first wide line, kufan dalalav, tradin shesachtan, finastan the mikvah, pulsan as a mikvah. So we'll say, if you have beets, and you went ahead and you squeezed out the beets, you have beet juice, and then you put the beet juice in a mikvah, pulsan as a mikvah, bishinu imara. So we'll say, the beet juice can invalidate the mikvah if what? If it changes the appearance of the mikvah water. I v'halav b'nei schitin. And the Rebbe will say, but one second, beets are not normally squeezed for their juices. As such, why should beet juice have any real identity unto itself, to which the Gemara says, Elamayis dechalamimar, kevan dachshevinu havlu mashke. Rather, we'll say, what do you have to say? You have to say, even though beets are not normally squeezed, but since in this particular situation, the person who squeezed the beets was assigning significance to the beet juice, so therefore it made it into a mashke. Because we'll remember again, for example, see, I will say, following the logic over here, if you have juice that comes from an item that's not normally juiced, so then really what we're saying over here is the halacha is that item doesn't have the status of a liquid, rather that item has the status of ochel, of the food itself. In which case, taking that to the logical extreme, if you were to put beet juice into a mikvah, so really halachically that should be the equivalent of throwing beets into a mikvah. I will say, what happens if you throw beets into a mikvah? What happens? Nothing. Not pleasant, but nothing. So therefore, again, I will say, the Gemara says, well, what do you see from here? The fact, we'll call him that Reuven is squeezing the juice out of the beets, meaning he's being machshiv. For him, the beet juice is chashiv. Well, once he's machshiv, the beet juice as a liquid, that makes into a liquid, and therefore, again, has the ability to invalidate the mikvah. Hachanami, keiman dachshevinu havalu mashkes. So we'll say, it could be that the same is by Hilchos Shabbos. Once by Hilchos Shabbos, you find that someone is machshiv, a liquid, then enachinami, that transforms it into a mashke. And again, Hilchos Shabbos would prohibit you from squeezing such an item. Rav Papa Amra Papa says, but now they're focusing on the mikvah now. Why is it the beet juice invalidates the mikvah? Rav Papa Mishum dahavi davar shein osim eno mikvah lechatchila. V'chal davar shein osim eno mikvah lechatchila posel as a mikvah b'shinu imara. So we'll say, Rav Papa says for a different reason. Anything from which you cannot fashion a mikvah, by definition, invalidates a mikvah. So because you cannot fashion a mikvah out of beet juice, therefore, halacha lemaisa, the presence of beet juice, obviously only in the amount that changes the appearance of the mikvah, will invalidate the mikvah. So tanan hasam, we learn there, nafala soho ya'ino chometz, barachatu adonai beinu malacholam shakol neyem dvaro. Nafal l'socho yayin l'chometz. So let's listen to this. What happens if wine or vinegar falls into the mikvah? Mochal. So we'll say mochal, we're going to see, is the juice that comes out of olives. Now Rashi points out that there are three different, not really olive oil, but moisture that comes out of the olives. Rashi points out that there are three different forms of mochel. We'll get to it in just a moment. Halacha l'maisa, if wine or vinegar or mochel falls into the mikvah, vishinoi marav, and changes the appearance of the mikvah, pasul. Ultimately, again, that invalidates the mikvah. To which the Gemara says, man tana de mochel mashkehu. Who is the opinion that says that mochel is considered to be bona fide liquid? Amrabiye, if you take a look at Rashi, Rashi says over here, first white line in Rashi, nafal the socho, very quickly, shal mikva yayin or chomets or mochel, vahukamin mayin, vizav minazesim, vigimo minim yeshbo. So we'll say, again, this is the liquid that comes out of the olives, and there are three different types of mochel. Kishetonim mitchila bimaton, lischanim, lisbashal melein, mochel zav mehen. So we'll say, when you first put the olives together in the vat, now, just the presence of the olives next to each other generates heat, and that heat causes some liquid to come out. That liquid is called mochel, v'hu tzalu kamayim. But that liquid that comes out is clear as water. Then as the olives sit a few more days, more mochel comes out, v'karav lios kishemen, and that second mochel already looks a little bit more like oil. Then we'll say there's a third mochel. What the third mochel already is really oil. So back to the Gemara. So says the Gemara, man tana de mochel mashkehu. Who is the opinion that says that the mochel, even the initial liquid which comes out of the olives, is considered to be mashke? To which the Gemara says, Amrabai Rabbi Yaakov. It's Rabbi Yaakov. This son, Rabbi Yaakov Omer, mochel harehu kimashke. Mochel, the liquid that oozes out of the olives, even in the initial stage, is considered to be like mashke. So the Gemara says, matam amru mochel yotze b'tchilatar. So we'll say, if that's the case, then why did Chazal say, we'll say, again, we're jumping around a little bit. We're going from mikvah to tum and tara. Yet, the initial liquid that comes out of the olives is not machshir something lekabel tuma. Why is that? Lefishin rosa b'kumah. Because we'll say, no one cares about that first mochel. Right? No one cares about that first liquid that comes out of the olive. So because no one cares about it, therefore it's not considered to be a liquid capable of being machshir the kabel tuma. So the Gemara says, Reb Shimon omer mochel inu kimashke. Reb Shimon says, in reality, mochel is not really a liquid. Umatam omru mochel hayotze meikol beis habatam. So we'll say, if that's the case, then why do people say that the mochel that comes out from the ikol, now we'll say ikol very quickly, is they would put the olives like in netting to keep them together. So liquid that comes out from that netting is ultimately tummy. When you say tummy means it's a chush of liquid capable of being machshes on the kabel tuma. Why is that? Lefi shi efshar lo below tzichtzuchei shemen. Because ultimately, again, once it's in the netting, by definition, there's going to be some oil mixed in with the mochel. So I will say, my benai, what is the nafkamina between these two approaches? Ultimately, again, the asi baser it's or itzasa. So we'll say it's the mochel that comes out of the itzasa. Now we'll say, look at Rashi for just a moment. Rashi is my benai, but my pligi hold the tarvayu molded the mochel yotze v'tchilatar vayotze meikol beis habat tamei. So we'll say if they both agree that the initial mochel is tar, in other words, it's not capable of being machshir the kabel tuma, and they both agree that once the olives are in the netting, that any liquid that comes out ultimately again is capable of being machshir the kabel tuma. So what's their nafkamina? Be'ezah mochel mechleku the lemar havi mashke utame ulemar lo havi mashke da'asi baser itzisa. So we'll say the nafkamina apparently, or the machlokes case is after the olives have sat together in the vat for a couple of days, and there's some liquid coming out of that. That's also still called mochel. So is that mochel chashuv and therefore capable of being makabel tuma, or I should say capable of being machshir tuma or not? That's the machlokes case. So it says the Gemara. So we'll say it's just a little bit weiter. Rava says, why is it that the mochel invalidates the mikvah? Because the mochel is a liquid from which you cannot fashion a mikvah. Uposlas a mikvah b'shinui mara. And ultimately, again, therefore, it passes the mikvah b'shinui mara. So we'll say, so what the Gemara just ends off here ultimately is as well. So we'll say, so That actually kind of signals the end of this discussion. So just understand what comes out of this. We jumped around a lot from Schita to Mikvah to Tumah. But so you saw a lot today. I just want to point out from that last discussion, what came out was as follows. That it would appear that Halacha L'maisa, if although we adopt the position, if something is really not squeezed, if you have root that's not squeezed, then Halacha L'maisa has no problem squeezing that fruit for its juice L'chatchila on Shabbos. The area in which it becomes complicated is, what if you have something that the majority of the world doesn't squeeze, but you will find some people who do squeeze it for its juices? So what does that do halacha lemaisa? So we'll say, I'm going to end off with three points, and then we're going to bring it to halacha lemaisa tomorrow, Meretz Hashem. So far, where the Gemara is holding, I'm not saying halacha lemaisa, where the Gemara is holding is, number one, Rabbi Yehuda and the Chum agree by Zeisim Va'anavim, which means when it comes to Zeisim Va'anavim, any Jews that comes out of olives and grapes will be Asra on Shabbos. Everyone agrees. According to the Gemara, I'm not saying Halacha L'maisa yet. So whether you had in mind that it's going to be for consumption, for juice purposes, everyone agrees that liquid that comes out of Zeisim Va'anavim is going to be Asra. Shar Peros, what about other fruit? It would appear that the Chum agree with Rabbi Yehuda, namely, if the fruit was set aside for consumption, liquid which comes out is not problematic. If, however, the fruit was set aside for juicing, then liquid that comes out will be problematic, cannot be used on Shabbos. Category number three, fruit which is never juiced. Fruit which is never juiced, it sounds like everybody, Rabbi Yehuda and the Chum agree that what? You can juice it, lechatchila on Shabbos. The complicated case is, well, what if you have something that the overall majority of the world does not juice, but like, you know, Menashe Bar Menachem does juice? What does that do to Hilchos Shechita? And Beretz Hashem, we will see tomorrow.